greeting the precious and the Lord Jesus tonight. You know, it's sitting down there and thinking this evening that it's just the grace of God that, you know, crossed the path of Brother Sean and myself together. I believe it was 1985, was the first time having the opportunity to come through after, I believe, a contact was established by way of the tape in 1984. And I'm glad that Sister Carol is one of the precious here. Amen. And, you know, I look forward to these times always. And, you know, I want the saints to know, especially tonight, you know, I don't come here because it's just convenient for me to come. I come here because it's really a desire in my heart to come. I believe that the church that is established here, members of the Bride of the Lord Jesus Christ assembling in this place. And, Brother Shalom, I've really learned to I love him and appreciate him sincerely. And, you know, he's become like a real friend to me. Hold a special place in my heart. And that when the time comes around, I just look forward that we could come and just fellowship in the Word. We don't write one another. We don't really call up one another. But but when we come together, you know, it's always some witness of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, when things are being done that way, you know, you are certainly more greatly encouraged because you see the working of the Holy Spirit. You see the same mind and the same spirit, and you know that there is a unity in the faith. Also, other ministers I've come to know, Brother Palmer, Brother Earl here, I always look forward to seeing them too, you know, when they come here, because I know they come and they sit and they listen, and after two, you get a chance to talk and greet one another. And whenever I would come, you know, and the brothers would meet me in the airport and we're driving, coming back, I'd always ask about them, what they're doing, you know, how are things going. And, you know, always hearing a good report that, you know, the person right there hanging is a good encouragement to know that in this end time here, and so many are falling and so many are drifting away, that there is some still have their eyes on that goal and pressing with everything we have. Knowing is nearer than when you first believe. This time coming along, I feel very good because I believe that God has given me something to speak to you over these days. And it's quite deep in the message, and I'm trusting the grace of God that, you know, for the four services we're going to have together, that the Holy Spirit could, you know, take the word and divide it out, each service, until the picture comes to be plain to us. It was a thing about last month or, you know, 6 weeks ago. The Holy Spirit really began to deal, you know, with me in a special way. It's something that I ponder and I should say kind of probe that over the years in the message. And, you know, it seemed like with the leading of the Holy Spirit to keep, you know, looking there, digging there. Until finally this last season has opened up. And it was such a great inspiration. I haven't fully preached all of it. Like in my heart, I preached some home, I preached a little portion of it in Tucson. In four services we had there. And did the first place outside of there. I'm really speaking it. And it contains the seven trumpets in the book of Revelation, chapters 8 to 11. And Brother Ram was told by the Holy Spirit that he preached supernaturally under the sixth seal, and God didn't permit him to preach it back in 1964. But in 65, I'm going to see different places in the message where he was getting ready to have the meetings to preach those last seven trumpets, those last seven thunders, and those last seven vials. He says, tying them together. And he says, you know, it was such a great message laying inside here. But he says, once you see the seven seals, you see all of it. If you really have seen the seven seals by revelation, because the seven seals is the book in its entirety. Because any man who claims to have those seven thunders, he got to make it compare with all the word. Because you know the church ages is under the seals, the trumpets is under the seals, the vials is under the seals. But when the seals open and he dealt specifically with the seals itself, it was all inside of there. That's why the Holy Spirit told him under the sixth seal, he said, you preach those things supernaturally. And that struck me. You know, if it was preached under the sixth seal supernaturally, when we would read our sixth seal, we should be seeing it because it is inside of you. It was being spoken. But you know, as the prophet says, when we have reason to see, then God will let us see. So, you know, some things that the Lord have permitted us to see, and I know it's going to be a great blessing for you, and you pray for me, and especially I come to prayers over these services, and because I want to take my time and go into it slowly and take a portion of it each night, and I trust by the grace of God at the end of the services, it causes you to be closer drawn to the Lord. Bring a greater awareness of what He's doing this hour, and make your heart ready to meet with Him. Could we all stand tonight? I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, for a scripture reading tonight. Certainly appreciate the fine songs and the wonderful spirit we feel in the building tonight. Leviticus 23 deals with these seven feasts, which is prophetic, and the first one was in verse 4 and 5, where it speaks of the Passover, and at that time in the natural is coming up within the next couple of weeks. Then the next feast was the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and the third feast was the Feast of the First Fruits. And you know, Paul in his epistles, he speaks of Christ or Passover, Christ the Unleavened Bread, and 1 Corinthians, they also speak of Christ, our first fruits. And then the fourth feast, in verse 15 to 22, in your book there, is the Feast of Pentecost, and that was the seven church ages. But we want to begin reading from verse 23 tonight. Leviticus 23, verse 23. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Let's continue on a little bit. Next feast, the Feast of the Atonement here. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day of this seventh month, 9 days after, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no servile work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it is that shall not be afflicted in that same day, it shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it is that doeth any work in that same day, same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening unto evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And the next verse was, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month, 5 days after the Feast of the Atonement, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do a servile work therein. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, Lord, we bow our hearts in your presence tonight. We are so appreciative of you for your goodness and your grace unto us in allowing us this opportunity to come, Lord, and spend this little time with our brothers and sisters whom we have come to love and appreciate so much. Since, Lord, we recognize in your great divine providence, you allowed us to come together. How we appreciate them in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship that we have had around your precious word over these years. And the confidence, Lord, have come to be in our hearts in what you are doing for us. Lord, we pray tonight your Holy Spirit would begin to speak to our hearts. These things, Lord, that you have placed upon my heart to bring to your people. I pray that you would make it so simple. Let it be so clear. Let it become so personalized, so real in the hearts of your children in this hour. That it cause them to have greater faith, Lord, in the prophesied promises that you have given unto us in this hour. May cause us to be made so aware of what you're doing, Lord, and bring us into that perfect harmony with you. Grant it, Father. We just commit ourselves into your hands tonight, asking the divine direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit in all that we will undertake to say and do. And may it bring glory to your name. And may it bring such a love of the Holy Spirit to be shed abroad in our hearts, Father. Just get glory in these services. And just strengthen us for the days that lay ahead. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. And for your sake, amen. God bless you, may I have a seat. So you want to take for a title, and we can use that same title over these next few services, the revelation of the seven trumpets. We're going to call this one tonight the first, part one, then part two, and so on as we take these four services. And you know, these seven trumpets, I was saying, it's been something very outstanding, because the book, especially with believers and even the ministers here know, the Feast of the Trumpets, for years it seemed like such a complicated book. And, you know, because of one or two statements that Brother Branham made saying that it pertains to Israel, it had nothing to do with us. You know, it gave a consolation to many because we couldn't grasp the understanding. And, you know, we always look for an easy way out many times. And he said it don't pertain to us. But then as students of the Word of God, we realize that Israel is a type of the bride. And what God is doing with Israel, it types us. And God, in his great wisdom, the way that he lays his Word out, he would speak things to us as a bride. Just like he was speaking the first seal, and the second seal, and the third seal, and bringing these seals. And then he began to bring things in the Jewish form. And it seems as though the trend has changed. And like he's speaking about the Jews now. And you know, many people for years, they said that the first four seals is for the bride, the fifth and sixth seal is for the Jews, and then the seventh seal is for the bride again. But then if you look at the word closely, when the seals was broken and the prophet came to the fifth seal, he said, John saw his people, them souls under the altar. He said, I saw my people. And then right in there he brings in the experience of going beyond the curtain of time. And meeting those saints who have gone before in the theophanies. He said that when the angel of the Lord who was there, the vision, speaking to him, told him, he said, these are what the scripture calls the souls under the altar. He said, but mine was not under a martyr altar. They was under another altar. So here it is. That fifth seal is given to those in a theophany, those that in that other dimension that have all the senses. And it's how it brought the prophet to be so enlightened to realize that those saints beyond the curtain of time is not like a little wind or a little puff of smoke, but they are in a body. And then those scriptures became so inspired when Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. You know, long ago, you know, people used to think about big houses of wood and stone and bricks and everything. And he said, no, it is an earthly tabernacle be deserved. There's another one. A house eternal in the heavens made without hands. And here he said, Paul calls it a house made without hands, eternal in the heavens. Jesus called it a mansion. The prophet called it theophany. Amen. John saw it and he saw all of them coming. He called it a city. And then when he looked, he said, yeah, that is the Lamb's wife. Amen. The heavenly Jerusalem. So, you know, we realized then that, you know, then came to the sixth seal. And under the sixth seal we saw where the sun was being blacked out and the moon refused to shine and the stars fell from heaven. And then Balaam speaks of our sixth seal on the Feast of the Trumpets. He said, our sixth seal opened, just like the air. And he showed it here under the sixth seal, Moses and Elijah. The Bible said, Matthew 24:31, and he will send forth his angels. And the prophet has noticed, that is plural, angels. Two of them. And with the sound of a great trumpet. He said, notice one trumpet, but two angels. And Moses and Elijah are going to make known Christ to the Jews, the 144,000 elect, that they will call out of Pentecost Jewish traditions to recognize the true atonement. And here, he said that at that time, Michael the great prince will stand for his people
I deliver the name song written in the book, Daniel 12:1. And here under our sixth seal, we saw and they put Christ in the altar of the church. And the prophet brings that out and shows us when the earth passed between the sun and the moon, he said the church was overshadowed with worldliness. The sun refused to shine. Christ was rejected. They throw the moon into darkness. And the stars begin to fall. He said, what kind of stars? Fallen Methodists, fallen Baptists, fallen Pentecostals, fallen stars. And here was that mighty angel coming up with a book to deliver the name song written in the book. Exactly. And here's a prophet like Moses with a pillar of fire, two signs. Jabez and Jambres come to impersonate him. Call an Exodus. Pick the token. Amen. A pillar, the amber cloud coming over marriage and divorce. Give them permission. Amen. All these things. And here's Elijah repairing the altar, the evening sacrifice in the great Mount Carmel showdown. After he carried up 400 false prophets. Amen. Had some in Chicago too. Amen. And here he came and repaired the altar, the evening sacrifice. And he turned the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And there's a time of famine, spiritual famine in the time of Elijah. When Ahab and Jezebel, amen, politics and religion was in a union. And the Catholic Church was in the White House. So here was the same scene. Those two anointings of Moses and Elijah was in that prophet. And he also had the ministry of the Son of Man. Amen. And then three Pauls there. Coming. First Paul, young rabbi, go from healing. Second Paul, discerning the heart. Amen. Speak to this mountain. Speak to the fig tree. Speak to the storm. Amen. Then Matthew 24, open the seven seals. Amen. All those things was being identified in this very day. Call us out from Pentecostal traditions to recognize the true atonement in this hour. So if you're under our sixth seal, we are having the same thing spiritually. That's going to happen there. Because just like Israel worshiped all nations back to Palestine, the church was worshiped all denominations back to the promised word. And here's Israel back in the homeland. Amen. The 141,000 there. But they still have amnesia. They still hold on to the old substitute. Those six trumpets have already sounded to put them back in the homeland. Yet nothing will happen until that seven trumpet together is received by Moses and Elijah. Because their seven trumpet is parallel to our seventh seal. And here, six seals open and rush them of all denominations back to the promised word. And just like natural Israel, many who only believe six seals, they're walking around, don't know what's going on, still hanging on to the little Pentecostal traditions. Still there in a kind of amnesia and blindness. Amen. And until somebody will preach the seven seals to them, they will not look up and recognize the true atonement. Amen. Come under the token and have the literal life on the spring this hour. Amen. Notice, and when that seventh seal, that seventh trumpet is being preached to Israel, you think all the nations going to accept it? It's only 141,000 going to come out and believe it. Amen. And when the seventh seal is being preached to the whole message group that come out of denomination, it's only the elected bride could recognize that seventh seal being revealed. Amen. So we're so thankful in this hour that we can see these things happening. Amen. And we recognize exactly how it's moving upon the scene. And what was those two prophets going to preach? They're going to say, tell them that under that seventh of that great trumpet, the Feast of Tabernacles, the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. And Jesus was made both Lord and Christ. The throne of His father David shall be established in the earth. Amen. Yes, we're looking for it to happen. Amen. And here we see our prophet also telling us Shalom. The great JVH here, amen, getting ready for 1,000 years of peace. Amen, this world is again falling apart, and the millennium is being ushered in. Hallelujah! It's all taking place, he says, under that seventh seal. Because under that seventh seal ends the church ages, and the trumpets and the vials, and the struggling nature, the struggling world, and even the ushering in of the millennium, all takes place under the seventh seal. So what a great thing for us. That's why we can look beyond this horizon into another land. Amen. We see the coming presence of this great light. This evening light breaking between mortal and immortality. Amen. I wanted to say to us, Shalom. Hallelujah. He said, good morning. What morning? The prophet says, where are we going? We are going right back to that seventh morning. Amen. Hallelujah. when the call brought him at rest, when no man never lived a day with God yet, in 1,000 years, the oldest man was Methuselah, who lived 969 years. But then we are on our road right back here, to that seventh morning, when we are going to stand here, amen, brought masterpiece into restored Eden, going back to another civilization, another kind of civilization, going back to the original civilization. See, it was a faith civilization. But then we come into a science civilization. Amen. After 6,000 years, we're in this great science civilization. Now the great pinnacle where Satan is fixing to be enthroned as God. But just before he can be enthroned as God, here comes that angel down from heaven. Here comes a message being sung. Come over to our people. Amen. Just like Israel, something was happening. Begin to rush them back into the homeland. And all them Jews, whether it was in Britain, whether it was in Germany, whether it was in Russia, whether it was them trumpets blowing, it wasn't all them Russians going back to Israel, it was the Jews in Russia going back. Hallelujah! It wasn't all them British going back to Israel, it was the Jews in Britain going back. Hallelujah! Bring them, as he said, out of the nations, the graves, where there was. Hallelujah! That bone can come to its bone. He can put flesh and sinew upon them. What has been happening? There has been a resurrection out of dark denominationalism. Amen. Bringing us here. It was the elect in the Baptist. Amen. Like when he called Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Not come forth. The point that every dead would have come forth. But when, and if God wasn't calling them Jews back to the homeland, rushing them back, then every Russian would have go back to Israel. Amen. Every Baptist and Methodist would have been his message. But God was calling the elected ones by the name of being revealed. That we can begin to recognize we have had a spiritual experience. We have had a meeting with a pillar of fire. Amen. That angel of the Lord. And whose we are, who we serve. We were in him before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. And he came with that great mother eagle flying. Amen. Looking for them. Trying to find them wherever they was. And brother, wherever you found us, here was a quickening power. Begin to quicken that seed that was laying inside of the air to make you recognize that you were the eagle from the egg. Quicken your mind to the promise of the hour. Quicken your life to the age. Begin to recognize you're not in that age. You're the elect in this age over here. Amen. To take your place in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, what a time that has been. Now we've seen those things and here we are growing up. Amen. Hallelujah. Into a full resurrection. Amen. When is mortal will put on immortality at the last trumpet? Because things have already sung it. The Jews is back in the homeland. Here we get a generation that's going to become a nation. Will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. And all scriptures in the process of fulfillment right now. Amen. It's all happening. Everything is moving. Because here was that evening messenger. He identified every spirit, identified every seed of this end time. And over these years, all that I've done has matured. Many of us couldn't see and recognize it while it was there in seed form. But the prophet, with the eagle eyes, looking at the program of God for this age and the word, when the angels ripped them seals off and began to show him the program of God, he began to preach those things by revelation. He says, you may think Brother Brown is crazy, but what he did, if you live a few more years, you will see what I'm telling you is nothing but the truth. Amen. And here we are seeing it. Everything coming to its fruition, coming to its maturity now. Identify its place exactly where it belongs. Amen. Even those who look like message believers over the years, we realize even those, amen, many of them have to show the colors. Amen. Just like it was in the history. But here in the end, there is some who has been placed in the Ephesians. Amen. That great book of redemption. Joshua, Ephesians, Paul and Joshua. We're going to bring them over and place them out into the inheritance. And what a great time it is for the real believer in this hour. And these 10 trumpets, when the Holy Spirit just begin to, you know, quick my heart to see and to recognize that laying inside there is a message. And as we, by the grace of God tonight, going to look to see that there is so much things in the seven trumpets, because the prophet says, speaking about the book of Revelation, I've always been a strong believer that the prophet's message was, you know, this book of Revelation, you take the first chapter, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. then chapter 2 and 3 is the seven church ages. And then those seven church ages, from the first age to the end of the sixth age, was about 1900 years. Amen. See, because the Pentecostal age started in 1906, 1900 years. But from Revelation 3:14, where it begins with the seventh age, to Revelation 20, where the millennium comes in, is one generation. So then the entire book of Revelation is happening right now. Because John was transported into a future day. He was transported into the Lord's day. And that day, how he knew it was the Lord's day? Because the Lord had on a white wig in that day. He was a judge between his priesthood and his kingship. And the church ages is when he was Son of God in the Feast of Pentecost. Seven church ages, 7 months in type. And then here it was in his kingship, the millennium, the Feast of Tabernacles. Where he's going to be Son of David. See, but in between that time, between his priesthood and his kingship, he is going to be judged. And he has that white wig to show he's no longer in the sanctuary. Amen. He has left there now, and he's in the conjunction between Son of God and Son of David, when the Son of Man, one like the Son of Man, is being revealed. When those seven things are going to open up and show how he has done it. Amen. After he finishes work, he comes around and reveals how he did it. Because those seals was breaking down through the ages. Amen. The messenger was casting the mystery by faith, not fully revealed. See? And going forth and preaching. But they didn't live long enough to see them fall further. They both part and went to sleep. Both part and went to sleep. But here in this day, here is where the whole thing is being made plain unto us. What was, what is, and what is to come. So when John was transported into the Lord's day, that future day, which is this day, this time, so we are the only bride of all ages who have seen him with a white wig. Amen. We have seen him there with the supreme judge. So that means this time John was transported into, and the things that we see in our environment, the things that we see in this age manifested in the form of systems and people, is what the book of Revelation holds. But the thing is, when we look out here, and we maybe even read the current news, and this sort of stuff is happening, yet it's difficult to tie back to which symbol in the scripture, which part of the Bible is really happening. Because when John was seeing the Vatican, and the Roman Catholic system and all these things, that angel, one of the seven angels with the seven vials, revealed to him, he says, here it is, John, that is the great hall. Then he saw the city, and he couldn't understand it. And the angel said, you're in the wrong place, you're from the wrong angle. So he took him to a high mountain. I went to the high mountain, and he saw the same city. The angel said, that is the Lamb's wife. That is the New Jerusalem. Because just the eye saw the New Jerusalem from heaven. But then the same angel told him, that is the Lamb's wife. Because the angels had seen a great multitude of people back in Revelation 7. That no man can number. And he had seen those seven messengers and seven stars in Jesus' right hand. See, now listen to this here. John, when he was told to write what he saw and heard, and he saw Christ standing there with seven stars in his right hand, and the voice says, those seven stars are the seven messengers of the seven church ages. He never saw the men, he just saw stars. He saw in symbol form, and he was told what the symbol meant. Then he saw seven trumpet angels, and those heavenly angels. Prophesied in the seven church ages. He said, those trumpet angels are heavenly angels. Then when he saw Revelation 10, that mighty angel come down, and those seven thunders up to the voices, he said, I was about to write, and the voices sealed up John, but in the days of the voice of these seven angels, he didn't see nobody, he just heard that, so he wrote it. And when he saw those seven angels with the seven vials, then he saw one of them, after the seven, was the one who was with him in the vision. The one who was telling him who the great harlot was. Who the lamb wife was. So he says, he kept identifying the one who was revealing those things to him as one of the seven who had the seven vials. Not one of the seven who had the seven trumpets. Not one of the seven stars. He didn't call the seven stars. Though it was one who had the seven stars. See? But he says, one of the seven angels who had the seven vials. He said, I didn't bow down to worship that angel. That angel measured the city, the future home. That angel showed the great harlot. That angel comes to show him choosing a bride, the Lamb's wife. And you look and see him choosing a bride, but the Bible takes Genesis 24:7. Eliezer going to get a bride for Isaac. And then he took Revelation 21:9 from Genesis to Revelation to show his ministry in Genesis and show his ministry in Revelation showing John that is the Lamb's wife. Isaac was a lamb, obedient unto death. Amen. Rebecca was his bride. He was the very city here in time, in Genesis and Revelation. But in the seed chapter, I'm going to come back to seed again. And he identified ministry there. He was that one who had the ministry to reveal the bride. And he saw that. And John even bought him to worship. And we know in this day, he even bought him to worship the very angel also. But he says, I'm just one of the fellows, a prophet, worship God. And he said the same thing. Amen. He wouldn't accept worship. So then here it was, John, this book of Revelation was being revealed to John by that one. And John was seen in symbol form, but it was this day. And here's that prophet revealing this book of Revelation to us, what all these symbols are. That we can look in the environment and go, we don't see it in symbol form, only to keep our eyes in the book. But we are living in the age and we are looking around and seeing these things manifested. It's all here around us. Amen. And when he saw those things, you know, Brother Bram brought the seven church ages for us. Then he said the next thing to follow would be the seven seals. And then he brought the seven seals. And he said the next thing to follow this would be the seven trumpets. And he was getting ready to preach the seven trumpets when God stopped him. And he said, they're pretty supernaturally already. Because there was a prophecy. It was a secret. Was going to be given away. We'll get to that later on. And God wanted to keep it secret because the devil was trying to get a hold of that seventh seal. He just didn't get a hold of it. He'll do great damage, but he can't know this thing. Amen. This will be one who will not be impersonated. The rapture will be a revelation only for the bride. The Holy Spirit is going to come down and quicken and make alive only them that are foreordained of God to go in the rapture. Amen. Only them. Those names are in the book. See, because the book of life opens Revelation 20. 11 to 15 in the white throne judgment. And the books were opened, the book of life. And the names that was found written in the book, then they went into eternal life. And you know, the foolish virgins and the souls under the altar and those with good works, they go. But the names that was not found written. Why? Because it's blotted out. When they came against the truth, when they come part of that system, then they went into the lake of fire. But the book has two sections. And in Revelation 20, at the second resurrection, when Daniel 7 is being fulfilled, Daniel 7, the Ancient of Days, coming, yeah, like wool, coming to open the book at the second resurrection. But there's a first resurrection. And we are gathered right now for the song of the last trumpet. We are called unto that resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who are part in the first resurrection. And here we have seen one here, why that one also. And we have seen in Revelation 10, the book open. Amen. But that section, you see, there's two sections in the book and pertains to two resurrections. The Lamb's book of life pertains to the first resurrection. Because the Lamb's book of life is the bride. Those who was in Christ, the New Testament, whose blood was shed for. What a thing it was when the prophet says that everybody's not really under the blood. He said the foolish virgins was not really under the blood. They had to go through the tribulation for purification. He said Jesus died only for those in the Lamb's book alive. Only them he came to redeem. My. And a portion was in every age. Then here, Revelation 10, the Lamb section of the book being opened to us. The ancient of the day is coming. Amen. And the resurrection already started. The dead being raised from around the world. Out of dark denominationalism. Amen. Hallelujah. See, infinite trust is raised up. Taken up in the mystery of the seventh seal. Raised up in the heavenly places. What is it? The believer's position in Christ. Recognizing the position. Like when the Holy Spirit Joshua was placing Dan. Dan, you over here. Ephraim, you over here. He was recognizing the position in heavenly places. By the Holy Spirit, Joshua was passing them out, who had been caught up in the Exodus. Followed the pillar of fire. When the Jordan opened, they came over into the new age. Amen. Come right back to where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was, and Joseph was. Like Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, they're apostolic faith. Amen. See, and then Joseph died down in Egypt. Like Columba went down the dark ages. See? And then Luther and Wesley and Pentecost were like Exodus is out of the promised land. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph is Genesis. That's Canaan land. God gave Abraham the land. Then Exodus is outside the promised land. Exodus is in Egypt. Journeying back to the promised land where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph was. Amen. See? Because Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost was not apostolic faith. That's reformers. Amen. Paul, Uranus, Magna Columbus was apostolic faith. The seed fell in the ground. And Malachi 4 is going to come to us to do what? Restore back the original apostolic faith. Bring back that faith. Amen. Hallelujah. And then here was Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. The church journeying back in the wilderness, coming through, coming away. And then Deuteronomy means two laws, two covenants, life and death. Amen. Two sections of the book. And Deuteronomy, one section, is only a recapping of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers before the emptying. And Deuteronomy comes here and shows what happened at Kadesh Barnea, the Pentecostal age, how the church come here and fail. Amen. Deuteronomy shows all those who died in the wilderness, animals dead, every one of them. All the names are blocked out of the book. Deuteronomy shows who gets the inheritance and this side. And also shows the elect that Joshua takes over back into the original faith. Amen. And then the book of Joshua is Canaan land, right back where Abraham was, where God told him, walk east, west, north, and south, I've given you this land. Now it was coming to receive it as an inheritance. Amen. And it's redemption, you see? So, that was this last book of life. There's two sections of it. And one has already been opened, and the bride name has been revealed. That's why when these things have been preached, the foolish virgin, they hear it. But they can't put it together. They don't have the Holy Spirit. See, they don't have the inside teacher to teach to them. They can't relate to it. Like the Jews, six seals, bring them out to that denominationalism, bring them out to the nation, denomination, back to the promised world. But it's still in darkness, still hold on to the traditions. But there's a people who have heard the seventh seal. Amen. And they've been taken up to recognize the real Messiah, the real anointed word of the hour. Taking the true identification and what they're looking for now, the millennium. Because the third Exodus is into the millennium and to the great hereafter. Amen. Hallelujah. So, these seven trumpets here, when Brother Abraham came to it, recognizing the general message, he said something here that I want to maybe read for you if we put in a little foundation. Page 9. He says, then why he wouldn't let me preach these seven trumpets? I was ready to announce it, had the halls ready, everything to go and preach the seven trumpets. And there's something bothering me so bad, we kept on working, Billy and all of us, trying to get everything ready for the air-conditioned building. For this next coming week, for the seven trumpets, and we're going to have 10 days or 8 days at the school auditorium, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me do it for some reason. I wondered why. I went into prayer, I told the wife, I'm going, I knelt down and knelt before God to pray, and he revealed to me them seven trumpets sounded under the sixth seal, and I have done preach it supernaturally. See? Now, what is preaching something supernaturally? I mean, he preached seven churches, but he never said he preached supernaturally. He has preached seven seals, but he never said he preached supernaturally. When he gave seven trumpets, the Holy Spirit told him, you preached already, but you preached supernaturally. You see, because he had taken age by age and showed every age, the time of the age, who the messenger was, the characteristic of the age. He had taken each seal, he had showed what the first seal was, what the symbol meant, and break it down, tie back into the history of the ages, and showed blended together these things. But when he came to the seven trumpets, he didn't take the first trumpet what it was, he didn't take the second trumpet, no. He preached the supernatural under the sixth seal. And I don't want to go here because, you see, I have to keep it a certain line tonight, otherwise I start to bring everything free in one night. Amen. Then I have to go the way the Holy Spirit gives it to me, see? So much each night. I have my notes marked up here, don't want to put on that. Amen. He said, the hand of God, the whole thing pertains to Israel, and we picked it up under the sixth seal. You all who have that know how the persecution of Jews and the time of the Gentiles has been this Pentecostal feast. So you read that. See? The trumpets, all of them were sounded under the sixth seal. And we picked it up last Sunday under the Feast of Trumpets and the preaching message the week before. What was it to do? To rush the Jews from all parts of the world back into their homeland. It must begin. And the opening of the seals under the sixth seal, and he said the seventh trumpet sounded in the sixth seal. And these things, you know, years ago, it used to sound like it's mistakes. The opening of the seals under the sixth seal, exactly, it's correct. It's exactly correct. Because, you see, the seals is written in Revelation 6, and also written in Revelation 10. For Revelation 10 is the seals that Revelation 6 speaks of being revealed in reality form. The seventh seal is in Revelation 8:1, but Revelation 10 is also the seventh seal. The seventh trumpet is Revelation chapters 8 to 11. We'll get to it in a little while. But also under the sixth seal in Revelation 7. Because the trumpet speaks of political disturbance. Now, we have been watching one side of it for years, which have been the religious side. How Luther protects the Catholic Church, or what happened here. But at the same time, now, it had wars taking place. And many of the churches were behind the wars. It's people who were fighting the wars had some religion. They belonged to some religious system. That the religious system sanctioned for them to go into war and fight. The very political people who led the nations to war, they came into power by force of the people who is within the religious system. And controlled by the religious system. You see? So it was always tied together. Because the same Satan had three realms he's working in his Eden. Satan Eden had three realms, his religion, politics, and demon power. It's Satan's Eden. Those three realms covered this Eden. And each one of them, here in the seals, is dealing mainly with the religion. But it's the same devil working in politics. The same church, the white horse rider that came, false teaching, it grew and become what? A false prophet. Antichrist grew and become a false prophet. He's going to become the beast. Amen. There's a treaty of Satan. But what's going to happen? Then he has all the kings of the earth drunken with the wine of his fornication. Which is the politicians. See? So then it's all tied together. But when it came to the seven prophets here, which was going to deal with much of the aspect in the political realm and how the church was influencing these things. See, many times we see President Reagan, they say something, and so on, America's going to do so, and the Senate passed this bill, and so on. Well, they can't come and say the Catholic Church can do it. Because they don't want the public to know that yet. So like Jezebel, she's behind the scenes, she's controlling Ahab. Ahab is only a figurehead. See? So Ahab won't have to do what Jezebel says. But when Jezebel did something, it is signed Ahab's name. It's through Ahab's seal. Let the public know it that way. But behind the scenes, they know he's boss in the house. You see? So, I mean, you can see families like that. Right? You see a woman, you know, she says, oh, my husband's in public. But at home, she tells him what to do. Anyway, she's the boss at home. Anyway, she may control the money. In the home. She may have an inheritance or something. She may, the car he's driving about, maybe it could be her money by it. And it could be in her name. But every time you see the person driving, you know, they're behind the wheel and, you know, they recline back and, you know. But if anything comes, who's going to take the car? But she have the deed. She have the certificate. Amen. And exactly what's happening in the world today. Because there's a woman controlling everything. I was speaking last night. The prophet, in that sixth vision, he said, I see a beautiful woman rise up in America, but cruel in the heart. Right. And back then he saw, and he went to the scriptures, and he preached Jezebel religion. He said, look where she's in the White House. Look how she wormed her way in into the cabinet. See? Now, when the prophet went to the scene, and John Kennedy died, it's not that the whole plan had fell through. The same spirit is there growing and maturing. But it just becomes a little invisible because we wonder how much he controls because the prophet is no longer standing there speaking. But then the Holy Spirit is here to show them the word and the message because they have to do exactly what the Bible predicted will do. They cannot go different to that. That is why we can stand here with the word and know exactly what is going to all come to. Amen. So these seven trumpets are preached supernaturally, he says, under the sixth seal. Then, when he came to the feast of the trumpets, he had preached the trumpets the week before. I just want to take a little part in this too, just to show you.
page 6, he had come to God and stopped him from preaching, having the meetings. So he says, I've been anticipating for some time to speak on the subject of the seventh trumpet in the book of Revelation. Now we are going to review this just a moment to bring out the real cause of me not speaking this time. Because the Holy Spirit would not let me speak at this time on these things. That is 64. Page 8, he says, then when I come to preaching this part of the seventh trumpet, you talk about the book of Revelation, or the churches, your pretty seals, and you come to preaching this part of the seventh trumpet. I thought I will not try to think anything, I will just wait till the time and let him reveal it to me. Then yesterday I went into the room and wondered why. It was the day before yesterday. I went into the room to try to understand. It was there. The Holy Spirit opened up this to show me the reason it is not profitable even for the church at this time. Because it has nothing to do with the church at all. This is a trumpet gathering them back. That has nothing to do with the bride. But just the seals, there's revelations contained in the seals. And there's revelations contained in those seven trumpets that we want to take a look at. So, he says, God told him it didn't have nothing to do with the bride at that time. But 1965, thinking on Thinking Man's filter, August 65, he said, I'm anxiously awaiting for the hour to where we can all congregate in one great place and preach on those seven plagues and seven bars and seven trumpets and so forth. They all happen right in a cluster. That's the reason it will take us about a week or 10 days or more to get through it in one single meeting. If we can, I think it's very sufficient. And God is evil in each, page 4. He says, now in doing this, I have come here for the purpose of teaching the last vials, last seven vials, last seven trumpets, and last seven thunders of the book of Revelation, tying them together, because they happen in a cluster. Tying them together. In this hour that we are now living to follow the opening of the seven church ages and the seven seals. Because there are seven church ages, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, sealed with seven thunders. And he had preached the seven church ages already, he had preached the seven seals already. He says, I want to take the seven thunders, seven trumpets, seven vials, and tie them together to follow the church ages and the seal. And that will have finished out the book of Revelation. And in it, Balaam says that there was such a fine message laying inside those seven trumpets. And what shall I do with Jesus called Christ? Page 4. And 1963, he says, I'll notify you ahead, because I got the seven trumpets, I believe, coming up, which ties right in on the sixth seal. When the sixth seal sounded, all seven trumpets went off at once. And so I'd like to get back to the church before his coming, or my going, or whatever it might be, if I can. So, here he was, he wanted to bring that message to the church. It was in his heart. He had seen it way back in 63, what it was, where that sounded. But in 64, when he was going to bring it, God stopped him. So it wasn't the time yet. But in 65, here the cloud had turned. The rock was already thrown up in 64. March. Judgment started in the earth. The Pope went to Jerusalem. The moon was blacked out and the church was in darkness. Then the priest came and handed him the book. Isaiah 61. The second part, the day of vengeance. And then God turned the cloud and showed you a supreme judge. So everything had led right up to judgment. And he said, remember the vision of the bride, just keep her in step. And in stay in line. So here he was, and Balaam, you know, was watching all these things since the seventh seal opened. Because all these were the major things that as fast as it happened after the seventh seal had opened, he would go to the scripture and would show where it belonged. When the moon blacked out, he went to the scripture. He said, that don't mean I was not interested, that means something. The seals have been opened, see? When the rock was thrown up, he says, no, that was a judgment sign. Because the scripture says, under the seventh seal, it says, there's lightnings, thunders, voices, and an earthquake. Under the seventh trumpet, there's lightning, thunders, voices, and an earthquake. Under the seventh vial, there's lightning, thunders, voices, and an earthquake. And when that rock was thrown up, here comes the pillar of fire. Lightning coming down, then it made three blasts of thunder. He said, the men heard the thunder. They heard the blast. He said, I heard the words. Voices, it spoke three words. Judgment, striking, west coast. And then what followed? Earthquake. Lightning, thunder, voices, earthquake. Going out west. He said, what is all of the coastal city? In the days of Noah, and the Sodom and the Son of Man was being revealed before the resurrection. Amen. Abraham saw a change. The resurrection. What happened? God sinks Sodom and Gomorrah, coastal city. In the middle of the Bible, when the Son of Man, Jesus, was revealed before the resurrection, God sinks Capernaum,
Of course, yes, it is. At the end of the Bible, when the Son of Man will be revealed again before the resurrection, Los Angeles, a coastal city. He said, what is always in the Bible that way? Following the ministry of the Son of Man. So Brother Man would go to the scriptures. Then when the priest had the book, the voice spoke from heaven and said, and he went into Nazareth. He said, driving home in the car, warned him, my, how could I carry that Bible? Why would that happen to me? You know? And the voice spoke and said, and he went into Nazareth, and it was given to him to read. And he caught it. He says, Jesus went in, read half of the scriptures at his first coming, the second coming, the day of vengeance. He left that path back for the second coming when the Son of Man is being revealed. And out of all the ministers in the platform, the one with the robes and everything, is going to walk up the hand and say, read it out of my Bible. See? And then, 1965 April, the cloud was turned. The Holy Spirit said, that picture you're watching the wrong way, turn it. And when he turned it, he saw one like the Supreme Judge and the Lord's feet. Revelation 1 with a white wig showing he has left the sanctuary. His judgment moving in. And here was all this entire investigation. And the Pentagon seen his UFOs. And it's all bothered about it. And the Holy Spirit to the prophet tell everybody, said, don't bother about that. We know what it is. In the days of Sodom, they came down before God burned the Gentile world with fire. Amen. He said, here is a time of investigation judgment. So listen to this. So on the sixth seal, page 9, he says, we'll get the investigation judgment on the trumpets. Can I say, continue? Because between the sixth and seventh trumpet is Revelation 10, and Revelation 10 is Christ coming down. And Revelation 10 is Genesis 18 repeating itself. The Son of Man, God in human flesh, not Jesus flesh, human flesh, like it was in days of Sodom. That's why you always say, three men come walking to Abraham, three of them. See? And one with dust on his clothes turns back to the tent. He is preaching Genesis 18. Because Luke 17:30, Jesus was reading Genesis 18 and give us that as a promise. So said Luke 17:30, when Jesus was speaking that wasn't written yet. You see, Luke didn't write that yet. So Jesus was telling them, in other words, Genesis 18 going to repeat itself. But Luke 17:30 is only the location in the scripture where that promise is recorded. But the fulfillment of it is Revelation 10. That mighty angel coming up in human flesh in Revelation 10:7. Revelation 10:1, there in Revelation 10:7. Coming, walking to Abraham, royal seed in the last days. He said, and we'll get it on the trumpets, because right here is where the investigation judgment comes, when the judge comes between priesthood and kingship. When one like the Son of Man is being revealed, when he takes the book to open the book. Amen. To judge the quick and the dead. Amen. That was the scripture, 1 Timothy 4, which is, those who love the appearing when he comes to judge the quick and the dead. The quick, those who are quick and those who are dead souls in prison. Amen. He said, we'll find out on the investigation judgment. Just before, the woes went forth. And we see that is true. And three angels have struck the earth crying, woe, woe, woe. So he said, we'll get them three woes and we'll get that investigation judgment on the trumpets. And he pointed on the sixth seal. So I'm trying to bring to you here. Here are things he was seeing in those seven trumpets. He was seeing it. But God hasn't pushed it yet. But we know when it comes to it, what is going to come out. When it comes to preach it, we're going to get the investigation judgment. We're going to get the woes that went forth. Then souls die in prison. He said, what day are we living in? Where are we at? This page 23 and 24. And remember in that sixth seal where all seven trumpets sound under that sixth seal. When we get to that, every trumpet took place in that sixth seal. But under the sixth seal where these trumpets opened, remember, under there, we find out that the Lamb had come forth, appeared on the scene. He had left the mercy seat. His work of redemption was finished. He said, when the trumpets opened, we found that. That the Lamb had come forth, we had left the mercy seat, redemption was finished, and all these things. So, we're going to find investigation judgment. We're going to find three woes. We're going to find the Lamb left the throne and come forth. He's coming. And then, feeding the trumpets. Now, tonight, don't be too bothered if you don't get anything tonight. Don't be bothered at all. Amen. You see, I'm laying in things here. You see, when I climax this on Sunday morning, we will be in Genesis, and I'll show you the seven trumpets in the book of Genesis. Just how it's in Revelation. And you'll see exactly where we all are.
They're going to book a route, different places. And so Naomi going back with his trumpet. He's going to home and all these things. So what are you going to catch? You see, right now it's raining the most doctrinal part. And this kind of part is kind of hard. And, you know, we have to go kind of school because I want to. I know the minister, he goes back over and breaks it down here. So what's going to happen is that's why I'm taking time to give you a page and the book. You can find it on the tape where the prophet sits, you see. So tonight you just like to lay the foundation of it. So you just try to take it in. By tomorrow night, you say, I now see, you see. I know some of you see already, you know. Some of you see already. So you just feed the prophet, page 39. He is also bringing out something from the seven trumpets. He said, read in the book and see if that between the second and seven trumpet isn't injected in there with the Jews being called out. Now, you see, Brother Abraham was standing there just quoting the scriptures. And mistakes people made for years, they read the message, but they wouldn't open the Bible to see what he's referring to. So he said, between the seven trumpet is coming in. But they don't open the Bible to see what is the sixth trumpet, what is the seventh trumpet, where are coming in, to know position in time where you are placing those things. And, you know, that is what we are supposed to do, and that is where it lay hidden inside of the all the time. So he said, the Jews have been called out. Do you remember? Between the 6th and 7th seal, there was a calling of 144,000. Remember that? Yes, where these trumpets come in right there. What is between the 6th and 7th trumpet? Revelation 10. And also Moses and Elijah calling 144,000. What is between the 6th and 7th seal? Revelation 7. He said, right there is where those trumpets come in. But Revelation 7 is under the 6th seal. Because the 6th seal is Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 to 17. Then the 7th seal is Revelation 8, 1. But Revelation 7 is put mathematically between the 6th and 7th seal, and the prophet says that is the only material to go into the 7th seal because nothing is given under there. See? He said, right in there is where those trumpets come in. Right in there we find investigation and judgment. Right in there we find the woes. Remember Revelation 7, 1, the angels said, holy winds, the wind blew. And he said, that was World War I stuff right here. See? So all of you is laying right here. Now watch. So he said, then between that, there was to be a seventh angel preaching, condemning the Pentecostals. Then page 36, he said, Revelation 10, listen close now. Bride called out by the word, Christ himself called out the bride, making plain Hebrews 8. Revelation 10, Hebrews 8. He said, yes, to them forever. John 14, 12. What shall I do, shall I do also. Luke 7, 30. And Malachi 4, Hebrews 4. All these scriptures that promise, this is to be between the 6th and 7th seal and the 6th and 7th trumpet. So you mean to say when you read Revelation 7, you're supposed to see Revelation 10, Hebrews 13, 8, John 14, 12, Luke 17, 13, Hebrews 4. You're supposed to see Revelation 7. If you got all those scriptures that promise, that is right there between the 6th and 7th seal. See, it's hidden. So, I wanted to do something, you know. Turn your script in your Bible, and let's get Revelation chapter 8. Amen. Make it a little more interesting here for you. Revelation 8. Verse 2. The Revelation 8 was the seventh seal, and that ends the seals. And then what follows the seals is the trumpet here, and Revelation 2 to 6 is setting a scene before the trumpet sound. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer to the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. All them saints with all the angels was praying, even the spirit is groaning and uttering to them. They was looking for this day. Amen. They didn't live to see it. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it upon the earth, after the intercession, after the prayers that went up now. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sung. The first angel sung it, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. Now it's important that you get familiar here with the terminology and the scriptures you read now. Hail mixed, and fire mixed with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. So notice there, the earth, the trees, the grass, being snipped. And the second angel, saw as it were a burning mountain, great mountain burned with fire, was cast into the sea, moved from the earth to the sea now. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures, all the fishes and all the different creatures in the sea, which were in the sea, had life, died. And the third part of ships were destroyed. Second trumpet. Third trumpet now. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as though it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. This is fresh water now. Not sea. Fresh water now. Lakes and rivers and fountains, you see. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened. Notice how it was smitten. Not the planet, the sun, which is 92 million miles away, but it was darkened. That the day shone not the sun shone not, that the day shone not, for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So the first four trumpets. And what did it cover? It covered the earth, the trees, the grass, the sea, the fishes, the rivers, the lakes, the fountains. Now what is that? That's the environment. That's the environment man lives. That's what God created in Genesis chapter 1. God created trees, and he saw it was good. And God created the grass, and he saw it was good. Was for food. And God created the seas, the waters. And then God created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, all these things. And then verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying the Lord's voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth now. Not the earth now, but the inhabitants now. By reason of the other voice of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So the first four trumpets dealt with the environment that man lives in. And the last three trumpets is going to deal with the inhabitants of the people who inhabit the earth. Amen? Now, let's go to the last three now. And you'll notice the last three trumpets have to do with what? Three woes. Woe, 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 by reason of the last three trumpets. So the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet is connected to the first, second, and third woe. And the fifth angel song that I saw, a star fell from heaven. Now look at some mysteries here now in these fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets. I saw a star fell from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit. This star is a person, he. He was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. You see how it is the sun, the moon, and the stars being darkened? It was the air. Today, they talk about environmental pollution, air pollution. The trees dying. The sea, the water is contaminated. Everything. Now, when God made it in Genesis, it wasn't like that. You'll see what we'll get into it in these next few services. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth of power. And it commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. All this is just a description of the locusts still. And their hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the song of their wings were like the song of chariots of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them who is the angel of the bottomless pit. This fallen star is an angel, a fallen angel, who, and he's also a king of those locusts, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon, and that means the destroyer. One war is past, and behold, there cometh two wars more hereafter. So after the fifth trumpet, one war is passed, when the fifth trumpet is considered the first war. Verse 13 now, the sixth trumpet now. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. And we know Euphrates is one of the rivers mentioned in the book of Genesis. Was four of them. First one was Pishon, then Gihon, then Hiddekel, and then Euphrates. And Gihon and Pishon is no more mentioned in the entire Bible after it's mentioned in Genesis 1. Then the next, the only other place Hiddekel is mentioned is in Daniel chapter 10 verse 4, when Daniel had seen that great last vision, that angel standing by the river Hiddekel. And Hiddekel River is the Tigris River. But Euphrates is mentioned from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Because Babylon was built on the Euphrates River. And Babylon is where Satanic religion had its origin. And does anybody know how Babylon fell? When Babylon fell the first time? The kings of the east diverted the riverbed, Cyrus and them, the Median Persians, and the river became dry to make a way for the kings to come in and destroy the city. Revelation 16:12 under the sixth vial, we see the same thing. The river Euphrates is dried up to prepare a way for the kings of the east. Because that's in type how Babylon fell. But Babylon, at the end of the Bible, Babylon says, Babylon is in the beginning of the Bible, the middle of the Bible, and the end of the Bible. Then Euphrates is in the beginning of the Bible, the middle of the Bible, and the end of the Bible. Because Babylon is built on Euphrates. Where Euphrates is, Babylon is. Where Babylon is, Euphrates is. But when Babylon comes in Revelation, it's no longer the natural city the head of bone is talking about. Because that's how we need to throw the iron clay. But Rome is called Mystery Babylon, because something that was in the head of gold never went out of existence. It ended up in the toes of iron clay. Which is the same Babylonian pagan religion. See? So right here, notice the river Euphrates never appeared in the seven church ages. You didn't see the river Euphrates. We saw Jezebel and different things. Then in the seals, it didn't mention about the river Euphrates. But in the trumpets, we find the river Euphrates injected the air. But what it is a mystery river. It's not a natural river, because Babylon is a mystery Babylon now. So the river is a mystery river. It's paper Rome. It's showing the presence of the Roman power and her involvement in politics, because trumpet is speaking about political instruments. That way the Hitler and Eichmann and them, the Roman spirit is loose in them to kill the Jews, you see? We're going to get through it right. Verse 15. And the four angels were loosed, who will be prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay the third part of men. See war. Kill them out. And the number of the army of the horse were 200,000 to 200 million. And notice where they come in from, the river Euphrates. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacket and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of the lions. And out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of the mouth. And Balaam says, how did they kill them Jews? And these three was the third part of men killed. Fire, smoke, brimstone. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents on their heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship and devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. And that ends the sixth trumpet. Then we come to Revelation 10, 1 to 7, and Revelation 8 to 11, which is where we ask now the message of the hour. Then Revelation 11, verses 1 to, let's say, 12. Shows the ministry of Moses and Elijah, where they are killed and where they raise up and go up into heaven. That's verse 12, Revelation 11:12. Then Revelation 13 speak of the earthquake after Moses and Elijah ascending to heaven. And I want to get verse 14 before I read the seventh trumpet. Verse 11, 14. The second war is past. Now all these things are under that sixth trumpet here. The second war is past, and behold, the third war cometh quickly. Because woe, by reason of the last six trumpets. The fifth trumpet, one war is past, sixth trumpet, two wars is past. Behold, the third war cometh quickly. Armageddon. Now, verse 15, the seventh trumpet. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And we all agree that the millennium is speaking about, alright? That is the announcement of the millennium right there. The throne of David to be established under the seventh trumpet. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell upon their face and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and was and art to come. That's the threefold right there. Eagle, lamb, and lion, prophet, priest, and king, son of man, son of God, son of David, Lord who is, Lord who was, Lord who is to come. Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and his reign, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them who destroy the earth. That's important right there. Because why? Under the first four trumpets, we saw the earth being smitten, the trees being smitten, the sea being smitten, the creatures in the sea being smitten, the waters being smitten, the air being smitten. See? And God now under the seventh trumpet is going to destroy them who destroy the earth. Because under the first four trumpets, they are destroying the earth. But under the seventh trumpet, the earth is purified. The same earth that has been destroyed under the first four trumpets is purified for the millennium. Where the lion and the lamb will live again. The restored Eden is going to come back under the seventh trumpet. So here we see the environment being destroyed, but yet under the seventh trumpet, it's going to be purified for the millennium. To come back to an Eden, a third civilization, like it was when God created it in Genesis. Because this is the same earth that God gave Adam dominion over the fish, amen, marine life, over the trees, botany life, amen, over the bird life. Everything that God made, he put Adam over it. That is Eden. And here we see the very earth being destroyed. But God said, I'm going to destroy them who destroy it. The very trees that God made, the very fish that God made. All these things, he says, going to destroy them who destroy it. So notice, so the first four trumpets deal with the environment, and the last three trumpets, it deals with the inhabitants of the earth, the three wars, World War I, World War II, World War III, which is Armageddon. And under the seventh trumpet, we see God going to destroy all of them who destroy the earth. Because today they're working in science and civilization and education. And what they call progress, what they're doing for war and industry, they're pulling all the minerals out of the earth. They're building all the scientific inventions. Amen. All the big industrial plants, you know what, polluting the air. We was in Mexico City here just last couple of weeks. And as reading National Geographic, they said to breathe the air in Mexico City, living the air, is equivalent to smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. See, some of the air pollution. See, because here's a city of 20 million people. And where they had the lake, where the water source, the fresh water was going to come from. For drinking, for bathing, for washing, you know, for doing the work and everything there. They have to drain that lake from the expansion of the city. And now the water comes from so far. And you think of the amount of water you need for a sewage problem. For 20 million people. The kind of water you need for 20 million. Just to run all the big plants that they have. Then all the industrial waste, they put it right back into the earth. All the toxic winds and the acid rains, destroying all the fish in the sea, destroying all the trees. Amen? Many of all those trees that God made there, see, is our purpose. And that's why even God is going to destroy everything. He told Noah, take certain type of plants, take certain type of animals, we're going to repopulate back the earth. After destroying this science civilization, I'm going to bring you back Noah, like the true civilization had in the beginning, see? So notice this here, the earth has been destroyed. And God will destroy the man who is destroying the earth. Because all these woes is happening right there on the very earth. The poison gas burning up everything in the first war. Then the hydrogen bombs in the second war burn big holes into the earth. All the science, pulling out the minerals for the invention of peace and what they call civilization and bringing more death. See? But when you come back to the seventh trumpet, is a patronization again. The kingdom of this world is going to become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. So that's just to get me a picture there a little bit. I don't want to give you a on the secret yet. Amen. But they don't want to give you an insight as to where I'm coming from or what I'm talking about, you see. So notice the earth now is going through birth pains while man is destroying the earth under those trumpets. Also, the first four trumpets, man destroying the earth, and the fifth and sixth trumpet is World War I and World War II. And the earth is going through birth pains. It's so high into labor, it's been a groan and travail and pain to be delivered. To bring for the new world for the millennium. But you're going to get a final pain in the third war. The Armageddon is to clean up the earth to bring back the new civilization. Amen. See? So it's a bring for the millennium, see? So, under that seventh trumpet, here is the kingdom, the restored Eden coming back. That seventh morning. That day we're going to live with God. When God was called to his rest. And all of this here man had dominion. Where Adam stood there, no sin. The water up for clothing, the water up time. Amen? You had a cage, a bull, a cage, a lion, you could only see them in a zoo or something behind a big fence. No! Back there it was all there in peace and harmony. The new Adam was God of the earth. He was God over there. He had dominion over them. That's where we're heading back right here. And these six trumpets have already sounded. Revelation 10 and 7 is already fulfilled. Revelation 10 and 11, the bride part is identified here among the bride. Amen. And the next thing is that seventh trumpet, which is the restored Eden. This world is again falling apart. We can see it. Politics rotten, religion rotten, social life rotten, everything is gone. And the millennium is being ushered in the promise of the darkest time is just before dawn. And we see it when all darkness conglomerating together. All of churches, all devil worship coming together on one side. But on the other side, here's the morning star. What is it doing? Heralding the coming of the son of David, the reign of that seventh morning. And the message is shalom. It is breaking because of dying world corruption and a bright new shining day. The person coming of the great light. Amen. Showing us we are going back in. Amen. What a promise, what a hope we have. Now, as you go to close up here tonight, I'm just going to inject one or two more things here. I want you to see these mysteries now, as I said, in the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet. Because the fifth trumpet of World War One, and World War One was 1914 to 1918. And it's something seriously. And the seventh trumpet, the announcement of the millennium, that Moses and Elijah is going to announce that millennium. They're going to preach the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom. They ask the question, when will the kingdom be restored to Israel? Don't know the times and the seasons. Jesus said, the Father, the Son didn't know it back there yet. It wasn't given yet, but he says, at a particular time in his ministerial ministry, he came and he showed to John, only one lives to see it. And he didn't even understand it because the history was not yet made. He only saw the symbols. It was sealed. So notice here now. From the World War I, 1914 to the end of the 70th week, that 50th and 7th trumpet, the one we're looking at here, that space of time. And look at the mysteries that is in those trumpets, so you will see why I'm saying there's many things that are relevant to us, and there is something that God would not permit back there, but if we have seen it, and could prove it officially by the word and the message of the hour is here, being covered by the Holy Spirit, then we know it's not many more days. Amen. Now look. First thing, those three woes. We found that, woe, woe, woe. Revelation 8 is in three woes. World War One, World War Two, World War Three. 1916, between World War One, while the fight was going on the earth, poison gas, chlorine gas, mustard gas, burning up the world, all the world was on the wall, right here, 7-year-old boy is walking on a split up in the woods, bucking some water, and a whirlwind begins to blow in a tree. And the voice says, don't drink or smoke, or the father says anyway, I have a work for you to do when you get older. Right? Peter World War One. Then that same angel turned around and come back and stop the war. the Kaiser Hellman, we have King George, this one, the other one. Who stopped the war? Who gave orders? Nobody knew. Something seriously. He said that angel stopped the war. The same angel who was picketing, don't drink the smoke. All right. 1933. Between World War I and World War II. World War II was 1939 to 1945. Here, on the banks of the Ohio River, this little boy grew up now about 24 years old now, baptizing people. I really something where that same angel come back in another form, not a wooden stand, but like a star, pillar of fire. And the boy, the same boy, speaks now, attend the baptism on the first coming, so shall your message for on the second coming. And then right after that, a few days after, he saw seven visions of prophecy. And he saw Mussolini in Italy, fascism, government in the political realm, was going to come in India at that time. Here, Italy was going to be a messiah, an anointed one, the wanted one, who is going to really bring Italy, you know, to be a superpower. Then Germany had one, Hitler, preaching fascism. Then Russia had one, Stalin raised up, all the anointed ones in the earth at that time. And Stalin was preaching communism. And the voice said, these two will be swallowed up in the third one. Watch the king of the north. Then he saw, at that time, Roosevelt was president of America. He had just won from Truman. Not Truman, Hoover. He had won from Hoover. And Wall Street had crashed. October 1929. And they began to go into depression. But I don't know what the Great Depression is. I saw some of the brothers here. No, that's not me doing from the history point. But they were, maybe, but earlier on, they were alive during that time. And they know those things. And here it was. All the things on the earth, the depression time, but I'm telling you, look at the offering. 80 cents. They made a pot of lentil peas in the church and everybody eat. And Roosevelt went to all the universities to get the real elite. All the brains who were going to recover in America. And the prophet says, now the history will say it, but the prophet says it. He said, Roosevelt is the rascal of all the presidents. He's the one pick up England fight and throw us into war. He said, we have no business getting to that. See? No, history wrote down Roosevelt as a great man. And here Roosevelt and Barham saw in the war the Americans taking a real beating at the 6 foot line. They were kicking the American soldiers and beating them when they tried to make the invasion. And he said the Americans even covered up and never showed until the Germans had bring out their own film and exposed it. Then America admitted to taking that kind of beating during the war. He said, look what happened. Then he saw Hitler coming to the mysterious end. He saw Mussolini coming to the mysterious end. In the vision, God showing these things. Because these men were dictators through whom that then spirit in the Euphrates River was going to be loose through. Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, all these men, God is showing to him. See? And he saw it coming. Then he saw World War II. You know, after World War II, science is going to rise. The Industrial Revolution, the Chemical Revolution. He was going to come in and take over the scene and bring the nation so materialistic. And after the fourth vision, science, after World War II, then it was going to go straight into immorality. Until the woman comes to a state of undress almost, the moral problem of the age. After the fourth vision, science, when they discover the television and they begin to bring Hollywood right into the home, is that Hollywood stripped the woman of the virtues. They begin to get into the churches. Amen? They begin to glorify sin. Amen? And make it attractive and appealing. And then it actually brought the moral condition to such a low degree until the children were almost naked. And then the sixth vision was the Catholic Church, right in America, the invasion of the USA and the overthrow of the American government and bring America into full control to the Vatican. He saw it right in the sixth vision. And when he saw it in the sixth vision, he said it was the woman, the fifth vision, who got the right to vote, that vote in the Catholic Church. So the fifth vision is what produced the sixth vision. And here you have now corrupt religion, corrupt politics, corrupt morals, and the seventh vision was atomic power that was going to clean off the face of the whole earth. And remove the religion, remove the politics, remove the immorals, to bring back a new civilization. It's as far as I can see, a total annihilation, as far as I can see. So watch. So he saw those things in the vision. So those three wars, he saw it coming there, and after World War II, the same angel coming a whirlwind, coming a star, come right to him as a man now and says, time to go on the world. And send him out with healing after World War II. Before World War III, pull the bride out. So what's the life of that messenger? It's all connected between the worlds. And Revelation 10, he appears between the sixth and seventh trumpet, and Hitler and Eichmann were the sixth trumpet. And directly after World War II and Israel's nation, the angel appeared to him and said, go along the world now. Showing the time in the scripture and the economy of God when this ministry was to appear publicly. Because the seventh angel never give no times. But when God placed the seventh angel between the second and seventh trumpet, he showed the time that the messenger was going to be on the scene after World War II. And that's the exact time that Balaam came up publicly after World War II. Between that second war and that third war. So that's three wars. Then there's a fallen star. Revelation 9:1. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Isaiah 14:12. Fell from heaven. And here it was. That same great red dragon, that beast with seven heads and ten horns, up in heaven, who fought against Michael, was the same one that carried this woman on the earth. Amen? Showing that he had, how he had to work from the time he was cast down until he built up his Eden for 6,000 years. He was a king here now, and he had 200 million supernatural devils with him, riding. Amen? Do you understand? Then, 200 million locusts. Brought to Joel. He says, the locusts have eaten what? The fig tree. Type of Israel, the Roman power bring persecution upon them. Also, the bride tree. Same Roman spirit of the church ages. He says, one spirit changing form. Locust, palmer worm, canker worm, caterpillar. What was the Roman spirit? And here, you take it back. It's 200 million locusts. A revelation also. In the political realm, but also in the religious realm. Because this same spirit of Lucifer, Hitler, Eichmann is now Lucifer. In the ecclesiastical realm. Amen. Same devil, white horse rider, is the same fallen star. Same Lucifer. Amen? What, just over here is religious realm, over here is political realm. Great River Euphrates, we touched that just now what it was. Paper Rome. A mystery river. Out it is coming, them demons. How was it loose? It was loose by dictators who were the political arm of the Vatican. Catholic wealth, finance Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Catholic vote put them into power. And they were the political arm of the Vatican City, while Rome, behind the first two wars, kept herself clean of where she was involved. Help a few Jews here and there to kind of give a good cover when the time comes. But in the third war, what happens is the beast and the kings of the earth and the armies gathered to make war against Christ. She hid behind the scenes in the first two wars, but the third war after she joined Church and State. Where did she join Church and State? Between the second war and the third war. Right after World War II, the ecumenical move started. Right after World War II, Brahman went out with the healing revival also. Is that correct? And while the Pope John 23 was saying that we all may be one, the Pope said, not that kind of one. Amen. So it's happening, and here we see it coming together closer and closer. And what they're going to come to? Close this church down, close us down. Alright, one more. Then also Revelation 10, after the Great River Euphrates, so we took the three words, the four main stars, 200 million locusts, Great River Euphrates. Then here's this great mighty angel. Who is that? Then he has an open book. So the book of redemption, between the trumpets here. Then he cried a loud voice, seven tongues of the voices. Then there are three prophets, one to the Gentiles before the rapture, two to the Jews after the rapture. Then there's a super church. A mystery between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet. Because the Gentile prophet is what we see, 1965. Two Jewish prophets is yet to come, 1988, 23 years after. A mystery between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet. And right in there what happened? The book. Now watch this, at the close of this year. That book that comes on between the trumpets is what? What is this? It's the title deed to the inheritance of the earth. Just like in Jeremiah, the deed that still goes to the earth. What is it? The earth is being destroyed. We see it being destroyed under the trumpets. Drawing and comparing under the fifth and sixth trumpet. Whoa. But here the title deed is coming back to the sons of God, who is going to come into the heaven the very earth.
Amen. Because we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to bring them back as gods on the earth in the millennium. Because when the book opens in Revelation 5, they sang, we shall reign with him as kings and priests on the earth. Revelation 11:50, when the kingdom of this world becomes the king of our Lord Jesus Christ. But right in between that time, here is the title deed to the earth that Adam forfeited. Amen. It went back to God. Satan could take it. Lucifer being the one who came to build Satan Eden. 6,000 years, science and civilization, these things. But it will happen. God held it. For 6,000 years, God held it. And at the end of the 7th year stage, yet the Lamb, the kinsman redeemer, come walking and take it. And took the book. So Adam didn't have it, God didn't have it, the Lamb had it. Amen. Then, Revelation 10, the book is leaving heaven now and coming back to earth where it originally was in the first civilization. When Adam had it. And an angel, a mighty angel, is bringing that when? Bringing the second seven trumpet. So God don't have it, Adam don't have it, the Lamb don't have it, an angel has it. Now the book is not changing hands. It's the one who's holding the book changing form. God and Murphy. Amen. It's one person at a time. And he comes down on the earth just before the seventh trumpet, the millennium. Amen. And he has that book there in the days of the seventh angel. And Adam lost three things when he forfeited that title: eternal life, fellowship with God, and power over the earth as God. And we saw in that prophet in this time, when the day of the seventh angel, when that book came back, we saw the real mystery of eternal life. Even different than the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know you know these things very well. Amen. And here he stood here, standing there, showing that what real eternal life is. The literal life of God. Zoe! God's own life. Then, he had fellowship with God. God said, won't you take a walk with me? Amen. Live in the presence of God. Come down, walk with him and talk to him. Amen. Then power over the earth of God. Speak to the fish, marine life. Speak to the storm. Amen. See, creates curves, animal life. All these things. Showing you that God over the earth again. Exactly what Adam had. All that Adam had came back in this type of deed. Showing us we at that time that God is giving us back what was forfeited back in the Garden of Eden. Because at the end of this third civilization, at the end of this third civilization, the world is falling apart. And we're being gathered together to go back to that other civilization. Then God began to reveal these things. And then, when that Gentile prophet, Revelation 10, 7, and the two Jewish prophets, Revelation 11, 3, Revelation 10, 11, the book goes back into human flesh. Because the angel tells John, take the book, John, and eat it. So Adam don't have the book, God don't have the book, the Lamb don't have the book, the angel don't have the book. But somewhere between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet, that book is back in human flesh. And the Gentile prophet left in 1965, and the two Jewish prophets is yet to come. And somewhere between 66 and Moses and Elijah coming, that book will be in flesh. And he says, when you partake of the word, you are formed again into the word image. And God made man his image and do what? Gave him dominion. And Brother Brown preached, those messages there, the token, that of a perfect man, Christ in the God revealed. Who do you say this is? He that is in you. The unveiling of God. Amen. The masterpiece. Showing us the image. And then we speak to this mountain. Why Christ speak? Testimony. Look over to Jesus. All you speaking by the five manifestations. Show it dominion. He's back here in this hour. He's here amongst us. Amen. We are maturing into it more and more and more. Amen. God is going to manifest everything he has. Everything is taking place right now. It just wants to awaken and realize the hour we are. So right here in these seven trumpets, three words, the fallen star, 200 million locusts, great Euphrates, that great archangel, the open book, seven thunders, three prophets, that super church, all those things is inside of seven trumpets, which we just see. And those things have been happening from when? From the first war, World War I, 1914, to the end of the 70th week. That space of time, all these mysteries are supposed to come up. So I trust that in the next few services, we begin to break open tomorrow night and see exactly what the environment was, what it means, that earth has been destroyed right now, and how
man have polluted and destroyed it, even destroyed this earth. Today you see how they trying to reform this earth. You remember Asia, Calisthenics Nixon, aerobics, but there are some places too high, some places too low, then they build up some places, then they trim down some places, then they cut the air, then they dye the landscape and put a kind of fertilizer in the soil. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? I didn't give you the other side of it. Just do the natural earth. Cut down the mountains, cut down the forests, they dam up the rivers. I want to do a nature backfire. Trying to rearrange the molecules and to build a monstrosity, the prophet says. Amen. People have gone into the world too, and they've pulled out all the material there to construct their own little kingdoms and different things. And what did it bring? Death. What did it bring? Adultery. What did Cain's city produce? Amen. It's right in the Bible. See? Let's all stand our feet. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we spent quite a while in the presence. This opening night, just trying to lay this foundation. Lord, so much has been said already. But Lord, it's so interesting to look in and see the very things that we read as news, the very things that the scientists is crying about and trying to rid the world of to make it a healthier place, a better place. But it's all in vain. But Lord, we see your great plan of redemption, how you are working. And how, Lord, you are going to purify everything, Lord. Purify the earth and bring back that restored Eden. How you're going to change us, our very atoms, our molecules, going to change this very body. This corruption will turn into corruption. Lord, what a great time it is, Lord. And here we're in the quarter of the middle of this great seventh seal. And this great message of the opening of the seventh seal, this title of the redemption, coming back to your sons and your daughters. And Lord, we can recognize that we were genes, attributes of God, in your great loins, in your mind, you're thinking about us, Lord. And here we are expressing this hour to show forth the great mystery, to show forth the reason of your death, to show forth your victory. It's all going to be wound up in us, Lord. This great final thing that's happening to show that Calvary is not in vain. We thank you for it, Lord. We appreciate you tonight. We pray you're going to open up your word more and more to us. Give us understanding. Help the people, Lord. Lift us up into that place where we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, where the scriptures get tied together and become so real and so plain with our hearts. To anoint our faith, Lord, to crowd like John, even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, to lift our eyes to that new horizon. God, may it just burn deep down within our hearts. May we dwell on these things tonight, Father. May the Holy Spirit teach us further. When we come back tomorrow, you just help us again, as we try to bring this great thing to your people this time, for we ask you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God, if we bless you, please, back to the pastor, shall we?